Now, welcome to a Christian Men's Life Group. I'm Ken, and joining me today is Paul. So today's subject, we're going to be talking about putting off the old. So the questions we're going to be going over is, break free from the past, we must, what are we to put off, and what's the Bible say about letting go of the past? So Paul, to break free from the past, we must what?
I think the first thing we need to do, and absolutely, is to see what to break off from. If we don't identify what that breaking point is, we're going to get a little confused along the way. So we need to understand that Christ's way is the real objective way to go and to follow and to absolutely mimic our lives after and to mirror it completely, putting in that image of him. So we need to see, okay, what were the things that Christ stood against? We can look specifically at the commandments. It makes life kind of easy if you wanted a 1 through 10 list. And if you really want to make it even simpler, there is obviously keeping God above all, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your mind, and all your heart, obviously. The idea is we're going to be dedicated specifically to the Lord God, Jehovah, only. And we're going to specifically also on this second set of commandments, the 6 through 10, it is against our neighbors. So we have to see, okay, are our ways against God and are our ways against our neighbors? And we have to root this specifically as though in good soil too, because you can kind of rip out things. Think of it sometimes as like you're kind of gardening, right? And you're trying to garden, you're trying to trim up things because, you know, even Jesus uses the vine dresser, you know, and many, many plant parables. So let's just go with one here. So you have a garden, that's yourself. You're trying to see, okay, does this plant belong? Does this ficus belong? Or is it sucking too much from this other plant? Is it pulling off? Is it bearing fruit? And so we have to see, and okay, what is good soil? And what will it be able to have a good foundation? And so when building this garden, building our foundation, we got to really definitely look at the character of who Christ was. We need to see, okay, what was the loving parts? What were the merciful parts? What were the graceful parts? What were the meek parts? And going putting on those fruits of the Spirit with wisdom, understanding, and making sure to be able to be dedicated to him in a way that really applies it first and forward. So we gather all those materials, it's called the fertilizers, and just the part that actually makes things thrive and actually sustains things. Let's call it the living water, right? And we give that garden that living water, we want to make sure that we're not pulling away from things that are, you know, carnivorous plants or something that is actually not too well, or a poison ivy or poison oak, right? So let's examine what all those things would be in a sense. So again, maybe we should go and divide it up. You know, we got plants versus a fungus or something like that. And so we want to see, okay, where is it that God cares the most? We look to Israel and we look back at the Old Testament and see what was God going on about? What was this idea? He's bringing up Abraham. We got Abraham who's interacting here with God. Then we have Moses, and then we have Joshua, and then we have David, and then we have the kings afterwards, you know, the judges in between and everything before. So we have all these different things we're bringing up, and we're seeing a movement, right? So we're seeing a movement going from getting out of Eden, being with God, and going to a point where we're eventually going to promise. And so God is removing his people from Egypt. And what was the reason? Was he removing them from Egypt because of how the weather was? Was he removing them because of, well, maybe this looks a different way or something? Now, I would have to say, when examining what is specifically in Genesis and looking at the different things from magicians to different rituals to people who are building themselves up to be like gods, we're seeing over and over again, as we see in Genesis, accents of Babylon and accents of Egypt, we notice that there is a part where the people themselves, like in Egypt, they themselves, the pharaohs, were like their own, and they were taking on an immortal being in a way where they were able to go through and work in a way with the, in a way they were absolute gods in the afterlife. And honestly, though, with this stuff, they weren't gods. They were potentially working with demonic entities that may have lied and worked into their lives to thinking that they are something bigger than what they are. And so we have to go and see, okay, where do we really stay away from this stuff? And that is, yeah, we don't need to make ourselves gods. We don't need to go chasing after rituals that are not of God. We don't need to go putting on, the absolute things that are just detestable to God. And, for they actually worshiped animals in a way. These things were very strange from God and what he showed us and how to stay away from the other neighboring nations, because he gave us the law. That law was a temporary part to go and say, okay, how do we stay away from the other nations, and how do we stay specific to God? Why do we not do pig sacrifice? Why we do ram instead? We're trying to go and again separate out from those others. We're trying to stay in to a point where we are unique and God's people. And so we go and see that, and we have to go and say, okay, the big thing is definitely just making sure we're going one-on-one with God. That's a huge part of this too, is that we need to remove all the other gods in our lives. We need to remove all the other ways that we're trying to build ourselves up to be gods. And we need to get that focus. And then we need to put on our neighbors. And that's the big part. So as we can see in Acts and Corinthians and a lot of the epistles and along those lines, and we are to treat our brothers, we're to build them up, we're to encourage them, we're to go build specifically on the evangelism of Christ and working that together. So the things we have to do and take apart is removing ourselves, if it be a culture, if it be other religions, if it be other ways that you're built up specifically, and trying to remove those so you are focused specifically on the Bible, on the word, on the scripture, and just keeping that direct. Because a lot of times we can try to create some things that are imaginary. That's something where we need to kind of get away from, because we don't want to be given over to our own imaginations, right? Specifically. So we have to go and say, okay, we're going through this garden. We're going to identify, okay, what is going against our neighbors? What's going against God? And we start seeing it. And I think one of the big and most useful tips with this, rather than just going and taking an axe to it, is to make sure some things you can easily chop down, but some things got a lot more girth to them specifically. I got an inch wide tree. It's a oak and it's live and everything like that. It's going to take a couple whacks to get that thing down. And so we sometimes have to wait for a storm to knock it down. Sometimes we have to wait specifically for the rains not to come to go and go that way. So sometimes we really should be patient on God, helping us remove these pestilences in our lives and letting him put those people in our lives, because sometimes we need help. You might need a two-person saw to take something down, right? And so sometimes we need to wait for that person in our lives to kind of help convict us and to go be able to do those things. So remember, just as much as we need help, we need to also make sure we're helping others. That's something very, very key with all this stuff, how to be transformed. And that is a big part, is to go and say, okay, not only should I receive help, but I need to make sure I'm reciprocal in that. Because as much as we need, Lord, I need help every day, as much as you're praying, someone else is praying for that too. So I have to kind of get on focus on that. I think that's the best way I can wrap that up.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate that, Paul. What I got, break free from the past. We should forget the former and do not dwell on the past. Isaiah 43:18 says, dwelling on the past can make it hard to focus on the future, can lead to feeling of self-pity. Instead, we should focus on the present blessing. And that is such an important verse, because we're so consumed by the past, things that we, are not blessed with at that time. And we don't keep track of the blessings that are right in front of us. And we got to keep an eye on those blessings. And we got to realize that God's going to forgive us for our sin. And we can't dwell on it, because if we dwell on it, all we're going to do is just going to go back and forth. We just got to move forward. So, Paul, my next question is going to be, what are we to put off? I got a little something and then I'll give it to you. According to the Bible, we are to put off our old selves, our sinful natures, and put on a new self created in the image of God. So, Paul, can you answer that one?
Yeah, no problem. I think if this is the best question, is definitely doing a study on this, is going through Corinthians, going through Revelations, and seeing, the letters written by Christ to the actual specific churches. Were they going and building themselves up to a point where they were trusting more in their money specifically to build up faith? Were they trying to trust specifically on the actual, actually sexual immoralities in a way that we're infesting into the church. We have to go and use these examples, especially in Revelation, to say, okay, Laodicea, what's going on here, right? And intentionally taking every single one of these examples to make sure that we're able to double check, cross, and make sure that we are doing our best to line up with what is happening in scripture. So definitely, if we're going to say, this is not the easiest way to answer, because there's a lot, and like I said, that in the very first part, what are the specific things that to go through? Definitely go through the Ten Commandments. We need to go through, definitely go through Corinthians, because we're seeing Paul here. He's writing to this church. We have a church here who's based in Corinth, and there's a little couple things going on there. I mean, to be very specific, sometimes when you look back at history, there is literally a god of fortune over there. You have other Greek gods that are specifically being worshipped during this time, and these very massive constructions that are there. I mean, they're partaking in some very heinous and wrong things. And Paul's writing to them, like, look, you guys need to stop these. Let's put it this way, not fun parties that are very adultish, and also some very interesting food rituals that were tied into it. But we also want to give this a grain of salt. We don't want to become so legalistic that we're going to take all 613 laws, right? And we're going to just try to recreate us in a way like, okay, if we go follow this, we're not going to be part of any other nations. Like, literally, God has now given us Jew and Gentile together, right? We're going in, we're grafting into the same tree. And so, as this is going, we need to make sure that we are being in a way that is not too strong, that we are absolutely unable to exist as a culture in a way. So, sometimes it gets so strong that there are some denominations that try to throw off that musical instruments are not allowed to be used. Trying to quote bad translations of Hebrew and the Old Testament around Psalms, and it is, I would say, for the most part, unsuccessful, because we do see there's 10-string instruments and everything along those lines that David uses, and unfortunately, that's taken to very high extremes. So the biggest part of this is trying to make sure we're taking the middle ground to it. We want to look at this. When Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he's saying, "Stay away from sexual immoralities," and we're seeing because he's seeing what's going on here, sexual immorality, blood rituals along those lines, and food rituals. These are very extreme things that are against God. He wasn't specifically going saying, oh, because you're attracted to women, that you can't have anymore. You can't have attractiveness to women. You would die out of society. God obviously made us as men to be able to be attracted to women, because if we don't, it'd be kind of hard during rough times to be able to sustain a population. So specifically, it's not talking about the fact that you like women. It's actually specifically talking about the actual rituals that they were going and doing, because we're seeing the clause here. We're seeing the three things that are going on: blood, food, and sexual immoralities. During those times, there was a combination of all of these things that were going on, and they were participating in these things. And again, they were trying to unlock new hidden knowledge or unlock new potentials to be like gods themselves. And it was very, very interesting and something very, very scary to kind of get into. So definitely want to make sure that we're the easiest way to look at this is to are am I doing something ritualistic like the Corinthians that is distracting myself from God? It's like the first thing's got to go. It is sexually things that are trying to pull you away from God, because they had sex magic rituals. I mean, that's what was going on here. It's no mystery. Some people just think, oh, they literally believed that these things were like, how do I word it? The thing that would go up before the gods. It was well pleasing to them, right? And that's something we need to understand. Like, this is specifically going, and you're from this giant statue, and there's these flames going on, and everyone's masqueraded and doing these crazy, insane things. So these things are definitely. First and foremost, Paul's saying this is the line. Look, you cannot go into these things. I know it's in your culture. I know it's going on, but you cannot serve two masters. So right off the bat, don't serve two masters. Honor your neighbor and absolutely put God first into every single thing you do. So pulling up, let conviction, let the Lord be convicted. Make sure to get into Bible studies and go through and see. We're going to touch on a lot of things, I think, in this podcast, but let's see what is going against God. But definitely, if you had to make a real quick thing, maybe look right at Corinthians, we're just seeing, yeah, no other God is the first step from this. And that might be a little rough for some people because honestly, their God might be truly mammon. They might absolutely have thing going on. That's a really rough time because it's just serving honestly money all day long. And where's your faith into this situation? We need to sustain, we need to be able to provide, we need to be able to help the church, help the community. That's fine. But there's a point where you're giving yourself up to a level, mate. Some people are ritualistic. I mean, I didn't know and didn't realize. I mean, maybe it's a little naive to this, is that people will literally have good luck icons in their life. They're like, okay, I need to have this specific luck so I get specific money. Like that's where we're kind of going back to what they're happening in Corinthians. They had a God of fortune. And that's what we need to stay away from. So stay away from the things that would look like that. So study your Greek gods, study your Roman gods, see what was going on in the Oracle of Delphi, see what all these different situations were, you know, Artemis and other things and Mars and looking at all these Jupiter and Zeus and what were they going after? So I definitely say to strengthen your religion, you know, specifically and strengthen your faith in Christ is I love looking at other religions and seeing, you know, what was Aphrodite, what was all these things and trying to distinct how does God set himself apart from it? Because we can see the character of God and we can see all these other, just these other gods are just trying to be like God, but aren't much enough. They never, ever come close to him. So definitely that's what I have to go through. And obviously, if you're causing offense to your neighbor, take that time. Make sure you're going, seek counseling with all this stuff. But as we're going to before, don't pull small weeds. Sometimes you need help because you can set yourself off into a situation where it's just unsustainable and you're in a world of guilt and you're in a way that is just absolutely just so devastating that it's hard to continue. You just feel like you can't go on. But Christ is your sustainer. But remember, not everything needs to be done in one day because no one goes and gets baptized and instantly comes out, I can never sin again. You know, temptation is always at that foothold. We have to make sure we got to look at those different ways to make sure we help each other from temptations.
Amen, Paul. Well, you know what? You had some really good points there. I totally agree. I mean, we really need to strengthen our relationship with God because that's the most thing. Because if we just comfortable in our religion and we just say, oh, you know, learn by what we're going through, then all we're doing is we're just hurting ourselves because we got to learn our trials that we go through, strengthen our relationship with him. Like, because personally for me, I think what really helped me from letting go of the past was my relationship with God. I think how I did that was,
it wasn't me just going to church.
It was me joining up life groups, you know, talking to my fellow brothers. Definitely Bible studies helped me out a bunch in the men's group because you go through different men, different ages, older, younger, and everyone's gone through these different trials. Hear their advice and how they went through it. And then it helps when they pray for you too, because when we go through our trial, you know, the best thing we could do is have the love of God with us, but also the love of our brother to help us get through this. When we strengthen our walk with him, you're going to realize that anger that is all built up in you is going to slowly dissipate. I could tell you firsthand that has happened to me because like I told you in a previous podcast, I have this anger for my brother. It's just so much anger just because I have so much love for him and I want to be a part of his life. And when he doesn't want you to be part of his life, it hurts. Every time we would hear my parents talk and just his name would come on up, I would just be mad and I would just be spewing up all this anger. But you know what? If you could say his name right now, I don't have that anger anymore. I don't, because I know that I did everything possible to try to reach out, to connect with them. And he's just not ready. So I keep on praying that God's going to soften his heart and he'll return to my parent, have a relationship with his kids. And definitely later on, if we can have a relationship with each other, that would be awesome. And that's all I want. So right now, we're going to go on to the next question. So what are some Bible verses that talk about letting go of the past? I got a couple of them, Paul, and then I'm going to bring it to you. So Galatians 5:1, for the freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand, therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. All right, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And then the last one I got is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and their Spirit of the Lord is there is our freedom. Those are three of them that I have. So Paul, do you have any other Bible verses?
Yeah, I think, you know, I like to go back into Mark here specifically, chapter 9, verse 42, causing to stumble. And I don't know, I just feel like this is something I want to hit on too. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they're thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled and have 2 feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes to be thrown into hell, where, specifically he's quoting back, the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but what if it loses its saltiness? How can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be peace with each other. And definitely looking at this in our past is like, okay, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, going forward and just walking with Christ here, that we need, and this is, a lot of people take this, and I just want to touch on this here, is a lot of people are going through and, you know, we need to help our brothers in Christ and we need to make sure if they're sinning, we need to chop off their hand. It's like, it literally take that literal interpretation in a way. It's a little strong, a little extreme, and it's a little rough. But the reality is we are trying to make in a way that, think about it this way. If you come to your brother with love and grace and mercy, how much better would he receive you if you're working on your sins, you're working on these situations? The idea is this. Obviously, God is showing us we have one part that's sinful and one part that is not sinful, right? We got, so it's this odd, this left hand is like dipped into this thing, or you have this right foot dipped into this situation. God's showing you, don't be of double mind. Don't be in these situations where, you know, we need to make sure that we're absolutely doing all we can to realize that, hey, look, God's saying, like, this is serious. We need to make sure we take sin seriously. We need to make sure that we believe in him seriously. And we want to make sure, first and foremost, especially those who are, you know, because I spoke more to people who are entering the faith, now speaking to people who are in the faith very strongly, to say this is like, okay, make sure when you're helping others, letting go of the past and going forward and moving on, do not do it in a way that is absolutely convicting. It's just, it would be too hypocritical because you received grace and sometimes you didn't receive grace and you learn it the hard way. You know, not everyone's going to come through it the hard way. So just don't be a millstone in these situations. Don't be the one that causes someone to stumble. Just because you see someone's hand is sinning or seeing someone's eye is sinning, work with them in these situations. Don't be the hypocrite into this, because if you're coming with a strong hand and doing these things and this situation, literally you are doing the exact same situation. You're putting off the fruit of God and you're literally not, you're literally losing the situation where you are not absolutely mimicking on Christ. Christ is serious, but Christ is absolutely there for those people. He is absolutely telling them and the truth. He is concerned about them. He sits with the tax people and all the other sinners, and he talks to them. he goes through and works with them. He is convicting, but he's not in a way that is devastating. So make sure not to be a millstone, but also make sure that you are taking care of sin in a way that's strong. Just make sure not to forget about it. Work on it together with Christ.
Awesome, Paul. Well, hey, buddy, I really appreciate your time. I know we both had a hectic day today, but it's always good when we could get together. And next week is, Shen, I was wondering if you could close us off in prayer for the nation, for unity. Basically, win or lose, whoever it is, we just pray that everyone is unified. You know, there's a lot of anger on both sides. You hear it every time you turn on the news, and you know, we just all got to come all together. So Paul, can you pray for unity, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, I thank you so very much for this day. You are wonderful and great indeed, for we go after you as absolute your son Jesus Christ is our high priest, is the one who stands above the council, who's the one who is above all. We know and truly understand our King of Kings is Jesus. We first and foremost serve you. For all of us set our eyes upon him, looking for him to come over the mountain, making sure that we are again unified in Christ. Lord, let not the devil divide us amongst each other. Lord, let's be able to have unity in Christ, going be able to help those who are in need and help. Make sure that we build up strong men and women, so to go and do the right things for their families, for their nations, for everyone that's out there and the church. To make sure that we're able to go through in a way that is able to be conductive, that's able to be absolutely open to communication, able to provide the things that we need to provide, make sure that we are absolutely leading with a good, right way. Lord, help the leaders that need to be helped. Help those who are judges in situation to be judged. Lord, help the situations where the innocent need to be defended. For you're a person who goes after the lame, you're a person who goes after the sick, your person who goes after the widowed, your person who goes after those who are just lost in these situations. So, Lord, we pray specifically that you make our leaders be able to go and do these things. Let there not be hypocriticalness into these situations. Let's be able to be strong in our decisions, be able to go and lead in a way that is good, and be able to go and reestablish a party that specifically is looking after Christ, that we specifically go and unify each other in these ways, to be able to go forth and be able to cut out the things that need to be cut out, to be able to make sure that we're all on the same page. And I pray this in your holy name, Jesus, with peace, and just be able to make things calm. We ask these things so we can go forth and do them ourselves, because we're the ones that cause it. So let us be convicting, to be able to put a stop to the things that are absolutely chaotic, because God has nothing to do with chaos. Sometimes we pray and think that we are asking for freedom, but in true reality, we're causing even more chaos ourselves. Make sure that we're convicted well. Make sure that we really look over ourselves. In your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, I really appreciate that, Paul. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And if you have any questions, please let us know. And bye for now.